Tonight, our speaker is in the person of Brother Larry Williams, Bradenton, Florida, and been a minister for the last 40 years with the 201 Church of Christ there in Bradenton, Florida. He's going to speak tonight on the topic, Biblical Unity. Turn your Bible to John chapter 17, where he'll be launching from. At this time, we'd ask you all to give your ear to Brother Larry Williams. Brother Williams.
This is Brother Williams. It's a great joy to be with you on today. It's an honor to deal with as a subject, the purpose of biblical unity. Well, we would ask you to turn with us tonight to John chapter 17. We'll be looking at verse number 20 through 21. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, and even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that the world also may believe that thou didst send me. Well, our modern-day religious unity is different from the biblical unity. Well, there are many voices today discussing unity, but normally it is not the biblical unity. Well, non-denominational involved in unity, but it's not biblical unity. The nation, churches, everywhere you look are talking about unity, but they are not involved, I suggest to you, in biblical unity. And these are the beast, his image, and the mark of his name. Normally, they're talking about false unity. But the biblical unity keeps the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Well, now, what is the unity of the Spirit? And it is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. Beloved, we must keep the unity of the Spirit if we will ever satisfy our Lord. Well, we must continue in the apostles' doctrine, teaching, and fellowship, and breaking of bread in prayer. The purpose of biblical unity is to keep the oneness of the faith. Again, we read, neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, even as thy Father art in me, and I in thee, and that the world may believe that thou didst send me. We're interested tonight in looking at the message. We need to keep it one message, the apostles' message. We need to keep it one family, God's family, Christ's body. We need to recognize the fact that the oneness influences those that may not have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Well, the Godhead is an example of oneness. They mutually cooperate one with another. That is to say, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, the biblical unity is oneness. One creed. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse number 18, that I have all authority, one organizational structure, and that is Christ is the head and he is the body. Well, we must hold fast to the head, which supply and knit together all the joints that in the bands. One worship. Remember that the Bible indicates in John 4:24 that God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we must have one name, because salvation is only in the name of Christ. The biblical unity is oneness, one bread, one cup, and one table. 1 Corinthians 10:14 through 22. The biblical unity keeps one from being puffed up, one against another. 1 Corinthians 4:60 through 7. Biblical unity again, unite men and women into one family. Now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfect together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been signified unto me concerning you, my brethren, by them that are of the house of Chloe, that there is contention among you. Well, God is interested, and Jesus prays that we have unity. Number one, the purpose of biblical unity is to keep the one message. That is the apostles' message. Jesus says, neither do I pray for these alone, but for those that shall believe on me through the apostles' word, that they all may be one. Many preachers are preaching today and talking different messages. The messages are not the same message that the apostles taught. They're talking of tongue speaking, sick healing, dead raising. They do not see any putting emphasis upon the purity of lifestyle. Do not put emphasis upon obeying the teaching of the Bible. Well, these messages are not the apostles' message. The apostles taught that the nine miraculous gifts that they had would come to an end. But yet many religious organizations are saying that they got it. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 8, the prophecy, tongues, and knowledge would pass away. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecy, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Here he lists the third of the nine miraculous gifts would end. If a third of your house burned down, that house would be unlivable. If a third of your automobile was torn up, that car would be undrivable. The same thing, beloved, when a third of the miraculous gifts ended, that means that the whole thing had come to an end. The apostles knew in part and prophesied in part, and they said, now listen, that means that the nine miraculous gifts that they were in part, they were not the whole message. They were in part, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 9. For we know in part, and we prophesied in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. They were only in part. But now we can look into the perfect law of liberty, which is the Bible, and all of God's answer is therein. People, instead of looking for the nine miraculous gifts, they need to open their Bible. The nine miraculous gifts were the childhood of the gospel. Paul says, the speaking and the feeling and the thinking as a child. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I become a man, I put away childish things. Beloved, the nine miraculous gifts was only a childhood that led to the manhood of understanding the Bible and receiving the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, for now we see in a mirror darkly, in face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as I have fully known. Well, so then the nine miraculous gifts were a dark mirror. Well, you ever looked into a mirror in a dark room? You couldn't see yourself. All we're indicating is that the apostles had the nine miraculous gifts, but they came to an end. The apostles' message was one church, one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 12. But as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, also is Christ. For in one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greek, whether bond or free, and we're all made to drink of the one Spirit. There was one gospel, beloved. One gospel. And Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it was the power of God. For therein is revealed, that is within the gospel, God's power to save. Well, beloved, only one message, and that's the message, is the apostles' message. Well, the reason the apostles' message is oneness, because they were inspired. They received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They received God's Spirit that led them into all of the world. And what we need to do is to follow that teaching and do whatever it is that they instruct us to do. Paul said about the teaching in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, "Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you receive, and wherein you stand." Now what's significant is that you can receive the gospel, and you can accept it, and you can stand in it. Well, in verse 2, "by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I speak unto you, except you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day." That's the gospel that saves. That's the apostles' gospel. And, beloved, the Bible puts it in such a way to give in diligently to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is but one. That is, but keep the one body, keep the one Spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your calling. Thank God that there is one way that we all can obey, that we all can submit to and be the servants of the Lord. Secondly, the purpose of biblical unity is to keep the saved in one family. God only has one family, beloved. Jesus prays again, "Neither do I pray for them alone, but also for them that shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one." And not only that, the world will believe because of the oneness. Let me suggest to you that there is one body born of a virgin, suffered on the cross, buried in the heart of the earth, rose on the third day, mounted a cloud and returned to heaven, was coronated on the throne beside God, and was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Just one. "Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that shall believe on me through their words, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me." There are many who say that they are saved, but their teaching and doctrines are different from Christ's teaching and the apostles' teaching. We have, for instance, the Baptists, they have their own teaching. The Methodists, they have their own teaching. The Seventh-day Adventists and the Mormonism have their own teaching. But, beloved, those who, the Bible says that those who trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ, they need to be condemned. Look, listen to Galatians 1:5. "I marvel that you so quickly removed from him and called you into the grace of Christ into a different gospel." Now listen, there is not a different gospel according to the gospel of Christ. But there is a wicked gospel that men and women teach today, and which is not another gospel. Only there are some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. "But though we know an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preach unto you, let him be anathema. If you are not teaching the gospel, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again. If any man preaches unto you any gospel other than that which you receive, let him be accursed. If you are not teaching the word of God, you are cursed. You headed, beloved, to a place which is where the devil rules. We need to, beloved, obey and teach the gospel. Well, in this passage, what he says is, not another gospel of the same kind. That is the gospel of Christ. The gospel where he died on the cross, he rose on the third day. Not another gospel of that kind. Now, there's some other gospels that are false and different from that kind. Well, so many people, they are saying that they are the one family, the one body of Christ. Yet, beloved, they have a different name. They have a different worship. They have a different organization. They have a different creed. Well, the unity of the Bible says the same must be one. And there is, beloved, only one family. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Everybody that obeys, they all are in Christ, in the one, both which are in heaven and which are upon the earth. And in Ephesians 3, Paul prays, he says, I bow my knees unto the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. One family. It's a heavenly family. It's an earthly family where Christ's body, God the Father, is the Father of it. We read again that Jesus prays, and the Melchizedek and high priest, he said, and neither for these only do I pray, not only praying for the apostles, but for them that shall believe on me through the apostles' word. I'm a Christian today because of the apostles' word. But he says now that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. Beloved, there is so much false teaching today, all because men and women have overstepped this teaching that Jesus Christ give us, that we all must be one. The reason the same must be one, because, beloved, they are one flock. And Christ is the one shepherd. In John 10, verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. This has reference to the Jewish people as God's people. Them also I must bring, as reference to the Gentiles, and they shall hear my voice. Whenever a man hears the Lord's voice and obeys, the Lord puts them into the one flock, and they shall become one flock and one shepherd. In Ephesians 2 and verse 14, for he is our peace, who made both one, and broke down the middle wall of partition. Now let me tell you this, that Jesus, he can take two and make them one. He took the Jews and the Greeks and made them one. Now he can take the Baptist church and the Methodist church and make them one if they obey. You may have an enemy. He can take you and your enemy and make you one in the body of Christ. Well, in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man. Why is there so much division today? Because men have not come to Jesus. If they come to Jesus, he will make all one. He has the ability to take two and create them and make them one, and if they both obey the gospel. And so, in verse 16, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The Lord of Moses died when Christ died. So many beloved religious organizations are divided. and they are divided because they do not have Jesus in their teaching. They do not have Jesus as their name. But when men and women come to Jesus, he takes division and makes them one by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you that were afar off, and peace to them that were nigh. Well, they are one bread, and one cup, and one table. That is why, beloved, there is only one family. And all of us, beloved, we must drink from the one cup, and eat from the one bread, and off the one table. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14, wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as the wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which ye bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? The blood which you, or the bread which you break, it is it not a communion of the body of Christ? Seeing that we, who are many, are one bread. There is but one bread. Jesus is that bread. If you eat any other bread, beloved, it is the wrong bread. And for we all partake of the one bread. But Israel after the flesh, behold Israel after the flesh, and have not they that eat the sacrifice communion with the altar? What say I then? That if any sacrifice to idol is anything, or that an idol is anything. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. Now let it be said that you cannot eat the bread of the Lord and the bread of demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. And you cannot eat from the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Beloved, we are one family because we are one cup, one bread, and we eat from the one table. Well, an example of the saved one being being one. In Ephesians 3, verse 15. For this cause, Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father, for whom every family, or the whole family, in heaven and on earth is named. There is but one family. That's God's family. Jesus built it, beloved. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Well, and so then this one family has one name, has one worship, one organizational structure, one creed, and there's just one, beloved. They were one in the New Testament. Well, 3,000 were added to the same body in Acts 2:47. 5,000 were added in Acts 4 and verse 4. Multitudes of them that believe were of one heart and one soul. Acts 4, verse 32. Believer was the more added to the Lord. Acts 5 and verse 14. The number of the disciples multiplied, and in Jerusalem, and a great priest of companies obeyed the word. Acts 6, verse 7. Just one, beloved. The biblical unity keeps the saved, beloved, saved. And listen again. And given diligently to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Will you help us to keep the unity of the Spirit? How do you do it? Is to recognize the one body, Christ's body, that died on the cross, buried in the heart of the earth, got up on the third day, one Spirit that raised him from the dead. So then, beloved, one call is the gospel call, only call that saves. One Lord, one faith, one baptism that washes away sins and puts one into the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, the purpose of biblical unity is to influence the world, that God sent his Son into the world. The world needs to know that Christ is God's Son. And if the church, if the people that believe in the Lord, if they are one, beloved, the world could easily see that Christ was sent to save. John 17, verse 20 again. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their words, that they all may be one, even as that thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. That word may is a subjunctive clause. They may or they may not. But there is a possibility that many will turn to the gospel of Christ. And if the people that say that they are Christians, if they are one and follow Jesus in this life, many are influenced by religious false doctrine. Well, for instance, and the churches have their instrumental band. Some are influenced by melodious voices, the soloists, by the church building, by mom's religion and papa's religion. But the Bible underscores the importance of unity, oneness, unity with others. The Bible says it is a good thing. It is a pleasant thing. Psalms 133, 1 and 2, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You want something good? You want something pleasant? Dwell together in unity. And it is like the precious oil upon the head that run down upon the beard, even upon Aaron's beard, that came down upon his skirts of his garment. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be one. One message, the apostles' message, to be in one family, in the oneness that we possess, will influence the people to be better in this life. Unity is absolutely essential, because the church is the body of Christ. And a body cannot be in disunity or disharmony with itself. And if disharmony occurs, it is essentially ceased to be a body and becomes a disjointed groups of individuals. Jesus' plan for the church is that it will be one. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, several members of one of another. Well, God influence for convincing the world that Christ was sent by loving one another and keeping his commandment. In other words, the influence of God goes out when we as his people love one another and keep his commandment. A new commandment, Jesus said, that I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But this shall all men know, and that ye are my disciples if you have love one for another. Well, obeying God's word will influence the world and men and women that they may obey the gospel. Well, the reason God's influence is good, because it saves the unbelievers who will obey, that the world may believe that Jesus is the Christ. I read again what Jesus tells us again, that they may all be one, even as thou, that is the Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may all be one, that is, the apostles, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. Oneness is what God will have us to have in this world. In Romans 12, Romans 12, verse 16, God calls for oneness in the world. David the psalmist give a good example of sweetness toward one another. It brings about oneness. I say again, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He said, it is like oil, it is like the dew that falls down on Mount Hermon. It's a wonderful thing. The reason the same influences the unsaved, because there's no distinction between them. They all are of the family of God. For ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be neither male nor female. For you all one in Christ Jesus. Well, beloved, How can you become a child of God? Number one, you need to hear the Christ, God's Son, who came to this world because he loved you and he loved me. He died upon the cross. He cried, he lied, lama sabachthani, because he loved us. And what we need to do is to believe in him. Believe in him. I tell you, nay, but except you believe that I'm he, you shall die in your sin. And if you do what I am, you cannot come. And we need to make a decision to repent of our sins and then confess Christ to be the Son of God. And then finally, you need to be buried in water baptism. What's significant about water baptism? You're justified. Your sins are forgiven in Acts chapter 2. And you receive the Holy Spirit, or you say sanctification in baptism. Justification, sanctification, all in water baptism. May the Lord bless and keep you. We look forward to seeing you again.